Hey there, Supergirl. Yeah, you. That's your name now. Don't fight me on it. Accept it. My name is Christine. I'm 28 years old. And I am out here trying to fight this coronavirus. I am tired. 2020 got me just thinking, what else is gonna happen? Anyways, I decided to start this podcast in the middle of a pandemic to motivate you guys, to motivate you, to encourage you, to get you to see that you do have a higher purpose, that you were created for much more than what you think. Don't take yourself for granted. Don't. I think we do that enough on our own. So don't. Anyways, on this first episode, I wanted to share my story, and I was hoping that as I share my story, you might be able to understand why I even started this podcast. And don't judge me. You know, I'm human. Okay? I'm out here struggling. But if it wasn't for the grace of Jesus, okay. Let's just say that I'm happy to be alive. I'm just gonna cut it at that. So I'm staring at this picture with my dad holding me, you know, and in that picture, I'm sitting on his arm and my legs are just dangling all over the place. And I have my hand in a bag of peanuts that he has. But even though it looks like just an innocent, cute picture, if you look a little closely, there's a large welt on my arm. And I just, every time I look at the picture, I just keep thinking to myself, how did I survive? Seriously. So my story starts some 20 plus years ago. I was raised in Miami. Yep, that 305. And I just remember thinking as a child, because I don't remember all of, you know, my memories. I don't remember a lot, but I do remember certain aspects of my childhood, but they weren't really positive ones. Like, I remember the time when I sat down and my mom forced hot food down my throat and it scorched my throat and it burned me. And when I tried to spit it out and I tried to, you know, push her hand away from my mouth, she slapped me and she beat me up. So she was trying to, that was her way of trying to force me to eat. And let's just say that didn't really end well for me a lot of times. A lot of times I just didn't really eat that much. And she would do the same thing over and over. I guess she didn't make the connection that forcing me to eat wasn't going to help. Anyway, my childhood is riddled with a lot of abuse, physical, sexual, emotional abuse. Like, I remember before my mother died, she was starting to get sick. And that was when she became even more mean. Yeah, that's the best way to describe it. I could have said other words, but we're gonna try to keep it clean. She was mean. And it was like she took pleasure in knowing that she was hurting me the way that she was. And I thought this was normal, you know, going to school with bruises all over my body. And all throughout elementary and middle school, I remember wearing like these super baggy clothes. And at that time, like, baggy clothes was out, you know, and people didn't know why. I mean, we were poor, but people didn't understand, like, you know, I'm over here trying to cover out welts and bruises and all kinds of scars and scratches and burn marks, and people didn't know. And I remember my mom telling me that if anyone asked me any questions, to let her know and don't tell them anything. I was very afraid of my mom. Matter of fact, on her deathbed, most people start to, you know, think about their actions and maybe start to become a little bit apologetic, maybe soften up a little bit. Nah, not her. She told my dad to get rid of me. Those were her dying words for me, because I'll never be nothing. That's what she told him. And I remember at her funeral, people were just like, why is this little girl not crying for her mom? And I'm sitting here like, y'all don't know what I just been through. You know, for 8 years of my life, this woman tortured me. She beat the living daylights out of me, and a lot of the times for no reason. It was just because she had anger problems. She was always angry. So that was domestic violence too. My dad and her fought all the time, argued all the time, and I thought this was normal. I thought this was like cool. Fast forward into me being 12, just started 6th grade, and during this time, my family was homeless. Like, my dad was very much so struggling to keep a roof over our heads, and it's hard for a single dad. He did remarry, but him and my stepmom were having a lot of issues. They just did not get along. That's on him, though. He chose somebody because he was looking for something for his situationship. So there's a difference between relationships and situationship. Side note, he wanted someone to take care of his kids because he couldn't do it by himself. After a year after my mom died, he decided, I need to find someone quick. Started getting kind of desperate, so he married somebody. He needed to, or at least in his mind. That's what you call a situationship. You don't necessarily need it, but you tell yourself that you do. So you get into this relationship in the situation that you're in, and it ends up being worse. Doesn't make anything better. But yeah, that was that. They get married. They had a very tumultuous relationship. And I remember when I back. Back when I was 12, I had a cousin, a female cousin that I stayed with, and she had a daughter. And I remember one night her daughter started touching me sexually. It felt weird. I just remember feeling off, because my dad used to always tell me, like, if I think gay thoughts, I'm gonna burn in hell. Like, so I always had the idea that being gay in any kind of way was like horrible, like it wasn't good. And my dad left me at this house for several months over the course of the summer, and we did some things, some sexual things. And I think that that introduced me into homosexuality at the age of 12. Her mom did the same. Like, they would grope me and touch me inappropriately. And I didn't know any better. I legit thought that this was okay. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking to myself, like, all right, I guess I like girls now, because I started looking at girls from a different perspective. And from that point on forward, I became addicted to pornography. I didn't particularly act out outside from that family member. I didn't act out on these homosexual tendencies because in the back of my mind, I always thought that it was wrong, but I had an addiction, and that's how that got started. And then when I turned 14, so about 2 years, 2 years later, I decided that, okay, I'm gonna start dating older men. So my first real boyfriend, he was 19, I was 14. I lied and I said that I was 16. Not that it made a difference or anything like that, because it really didn't. Dude was a predator. And I remember being in ninth grade, super skinny, super thin, and just awkward, you know. But I was not all that great of a kid. I skipped school a lot. I don't know up to this day how I was able to even pass ninth grade because I missed a ton of school days. And I would go to like some of my friends' house and we would just meet up with our older boyfriends and we would sleep with them. And I mean, it was crazy, some of the stuff that I did. And I remember messing around with this older man. And eventually at some point I got pregnant. Yeah, at 14. And at this time in my family, we moved into some, you know, hole in a wall apartment in the hood somewhere. And my dad reconciled with my stepmom, but she was still having issues with getting along with me and my brother at the time. And we would argue with her all the time. My dad left at this point. That was when I found out that I was pregnant. And I decided that I was gonna go tell this guy. I remember the day, actually, I was like watching some movie on BET or something like that. And like, he walked in and I said, hey, I'm pregnant. And he was like, okay, hold that thought. And dude literally went into the bathroom and he was in there in fetal position with the door closed for 2 hours, rocking back and forth. And when I finally finished that movie, I got up and I was like, what are you doing? And he was like, yo, you know I can go to jail for this? I can legit go to jail for this, you know? You're only 14. At this point in my life, that's when it started. I started telling myself that this is what I was worth. A man's affections, his attention, this was all I was worth. So I did anything to try to keep a guy in my life. And that's when it started. I felt like something was already broken. But at this point, it was more broken than repair. Then it can be repaired. And I remember he broke up with me a few months later. What ended up happening was, after I found out that I was pregnant, I actually ended up miscarrying. So I, in my childish mind, thought, yay, I lost a baby. I'm gonna keep this party going. And so I went to these parties with older guys. I would sneak out at night and go to these parties with older guys and adults. And there were times at these parties that I was taken advantage of. They knew what my age was. They knew that I was young. And I remember one time we were invited to some house party, me and my brother. My brother just left with his friends and I was just there with the guy that I was dating at the time. And I remember I don't know what happened. It was dark. It was like a dark house with like random lights and beer and drinks everywhere. And people were just drinking, doing all kinds of stuff. And I remember this grown guy like pulled me into the closet and tried to force himself on me. And I let him because my mindset at the time was, I can't say no. If I say no, I could die. Because I've been abused my whole life. Like, I never said no to my mom or my dad. They would just beat me up. If I felt like they were going to do anything to me, you know, I just kind of cowered away. So I was afraid to say no. I wanted people to like me. So my self-worth was defined by someone else liking me. And that's when that cycle just kept on getting worse and worse, because from those relationships, going on, finishing into high school, you know, I remember being in certain relationships and I'm chasing after guys that cheated on me. Yeah, crazy. Like, I'm chasing after guys that cheat on me. I had the one guy that, you know, try to do right by me, and I dogged him out. So, like, that was my level of toxicity and partying, and just, it was crazy the kind of stuff that I got myself into. And I remember one guy in high school, I was just so, I thought I was in love with him. And it ended out to be a situation where he gave me an STD. Luckily, it was a curable one. And that still didn't teach me a lesson, because after that whole situation, I was still trying to, like, chase after him. You know? My self-esteem, my self-worth was now down to nothing. So now going into adulthood. Okay. Oh my goodness. It just snowballs into something. I remember trying to date different guys in college. I went to a private school somewhere in Alabama because I got tired of that Miami life. I was like, I ain't no thug no more. You know, that was the old me. And during that time, also like when I was 17, I was starting to question my life, my purpose, who I was. And I was trying to like figure out who God was, because at this point in my life, I grew up in a religious home, but like my dad was like the strict Caribbean parent, and like I'm Haitian, so like my dad pretty much kind of controlled a lot of like my life pretty much, and I just tried to find ways around it, and it's now that I look back on it, he was only trying to protect me. You know, but at that time, I felt like he was restricting me. But during this age, I was questioning God and his existence, because so many things happened. Like, during the course of me being in high school, I was molested numerous of other times and taken advantage of sexually. And I felt like all of these things were happening and God just was just letting it happen, or at least that's what I was thinking. And I just remember thinking to myself, like, I need to find out who God is for myself. And that's exactly what ended up happening. I started reading the Bible for myself, like literally from Genesis to Revelation, like just so I could try to find out who God was. I had so many questions, like, dude, like, I've been abused my whole life. Where were you? What's going on? Anyway, so I'm into college now. I moved out of the hood and I'm on my own, and you know, I'm staying on campus, and I get into this relationship with this guy, and during this time, you know, I guess I could say that I was a Christian, and I was actually trying to live my life better. Like, I was trying to stop partying. I was trying to stop drinking. I was trying to stop sleeping around and, you know, making myself like a taxi cab pretty much. I was trying to avoid all of that. And when I met this guy, I thought he was like the one. You know what I'm saying? Like, dude had like the swag, you know, he dressed nicely. He, you know, he looked good. And at the time I was like, okay, you know, you might have swept me off my feet just a little bit. But I'm gonna digress from this story really quick, and I'm just gonna say this side note. So dude was actually cheating on his current girlfriend with me. I just didn't know, you know. And after he told me what he was doing, because I guess he felt bad, because I told him that I liked him. After a couple of weeks of us like going out, I told him that I liked him, and I guess he felt bad, so he decided, let me go tell this girl the truth. He's like, hey, I'm in a relationship or whatever, but we're breaking up. So in my head, I'm thinking, so I was the third person. I'm, wow, side chick, cool. This is high school all over again. So what ended up happening was I got into a relationship with him. Yeah. That's what we do. Yeah. You know, we know deep down inside that we shouldn't be in certain relationships and we shouldn't deal with certain people. We still do it anyway. And that relationship ended up being one of my longest relationships. We were together for a year and a half. And I just, in the back of my head, I just kept thinking to myself, like, there's just so many things that was wrong with me at that time. I started to like doubt God all of a sudden again. I'm doing things I shouldn't be doing in this relationship with this person. And then it gets to the point where he becomes like my life. He becomes everything. He becomes like my reason to live all of a sudden. And so now I'm back to being codependent on this person. Like, I felt like I couldn't live without him. Like, I had to talk to him all the time. I have to be there. We have to do everything. Like, my mind was just so absorbed. And this is the problem, because that was my issue for many years ago. And it was because I didn't receive that love as a child. And growing up, I never received that love. All I've ever received my whole life is rejection and pain. It's like the people that I loved most were out to get me or hurt me or want something from me. It was never because they genuinely wanted to be with me. And I think I was trying to project that in this relationship with this guy. I was trying to like make him feel that way towards me, but he was cheating on me. You know, he took my love and he took everything that I had to offer, and he cheated on me and continued to cheat on me. And guess what? I found out who this woman was and I confronted her, and he still continued to cheat on me even after I forgave him and I took him back. But I'm gonna tell you this now, I know now, side note, another side note, I know now, ain't nobody gonna be walking over my heart like that, you know what I mean? So I learned from that. And but I just remember, like, at that time, I lost 20 pounds. I was losing my hair. I mean, I looked like I needed to eat something. Like, eat some salt, girl. Fatten up. Like, it was pretty bad. You know what I mean? And, like, my whole entire life at this point, I just felt like if I lost him, I would lose. I would just kill myself. And that's how bad it got. He defined myself, my whole being, my existence. And that should never, ever be the case. You should be able to pick your head up and say, you don't define me. You don't define, you know, who I am as an individual, and neither my decisions. And, you know, if this guy want to bounce, he wants to leave, or you know, he's cheating on you, you need to come to terms that you don't deserve that. And that was something that was hard for me to come to terms with, that, because I really felt like I deserved that, because my whole entire life, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, people have treated me this way. I deserve this. Like, I did something, but I didn't, you know? And if I could talk to my 20-year-old self, I'd be like, hey, girl, you don't deserve this. You don't. You deserve way better. And I'll never forget the one night that I came home from spring break and I stayed with my dad. And he was like, hey, you know, I overheard a conversation with you and your boyfriend the night before, and I heard you crying a lot, and he was just being very cold to you. And he said something for the first time in my life that I felt like he was actually being a father to me. And he said, Christine, if a guy can look at you while you're crying and you're hurting and you're literally pleading with him to treat you better, and he still is being cold and heartless to you, you need to walk away. That man does not love you. That man does not appreciate you. He doesn't even care about you. He said, that is not a real man. A real man is not going to see their woman cry and be okay with it. Like, they're not going to go to sleep at night. And he said, you did not deserve that. And that was the first time I felt like, wow, Dad, thanks. 20 plus years later, thanks. But it was one of the best advice that he ever given me, because at that point, I was like, finally, you know? So we broke up. Let me correct that statement, ladies. I broke up with him. Yeah, because he was a piece of trash. A piece of clay as trash, okay? And I don't know, because the day that I broke up with him, I remember being so butthurt. Like, I was just hurting so much, but I just couldn't deal with looking at myself anymore. And I guess I, at some point, something broke inside of me, and I was like, you know what? I don't deserve to keep crying like this. And I just had enough. And when a woman has enough of a man's trash, she ain't cleaning up after him no more. She walking away and she ain't looking back. So I know at some point it wore me down so thin I just couldn't take it anymore. And I think at that point, that's when I realized that, hey, I have a limit. There's a limit that I have where after a while, I need to walk away. Anyway, that relationship ended, but I couldn't afford college anymore. It was too expensive. So I did the smart thing. I dropped out. That's not really the smart thing, but that was the only fiscally responsible decision that I could make. I couldn't financially afford to stay in that school. It's a private Christian college. I couldn't do it. So I eventually dropped out and moved back to Miami from Alabama. And I remember from the little bit of money that I had saved up, I purchased like a little small car. And initially, when I moved back down to Miami, I was homeless. I was sleeping in my car until I started staying with like friends, and that didn't work out. I stayed with family members. That didn't work out. I mean, it was just crazy. So guess what I did? I fell back in that codependent mindset of, I need a man in my life because I'm hurting and I need someone there for me. So I just said, forget God, forget anything else in my life. I need that codependency, that companionship. I was desperate for it. So you know what desperate people do? They do desperate things. I went online and found this guy, and we dated for a while, for a couple of months actually. He ended up being a nightmare. I remember one night specifically, I was very depressed. That's another thing. When you're in these kind of relationships, it gets you to the point where when you lose so much of yourself because you've given so much of yourself, you don't have anything else for you. So much energy went into someone else. Now you're just so depressed, so depleted, because you don't have anything else. And I didn't love myself, obviously. I didn't love myself enough to cut myself away from a really bad situation. And that's where you have to get at some point in your life, in any kind of situation that you're in. You have to love yourself enough to say, I'm tired of this hurt. I'm tired of hurting myself. And I need to cut away because you're toxic for me. And I remember this specific night when me and dude got into an argument. He tried to sexually assault me in the backseat of my car. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is my childhood repeating all over again. Like, I didn't want to deal with this. And I remember I fought with him to the point where he got so angry and frustrated. He got out of the car and started throwing stuff at my car, threatening to call the police. And at this time, I'm very depressed. And I want to kill myself. He's saying the most hurtful and hateful things. He's saying the most painful things. He's telling me that I'm worth nothing. And, you know, he's pretty much making me believe the lies that have already been filled in my head by other people. Because that's exactly what they are. They're lies. But I believed it at the time because I was depressed. I didn't love myself. And what ended up happening was, I left out of there that night. I went to my friend's house at the time. They were angry with me because they were having issues with me and I was having issues with them. But they didn't know that at this night that I was about to be raped. And this guy like hit me and he was like beating on me and I had to leave him. And, you know, I remember going back to that house, grabbing some of my stuff so I can go to my little piece of job that I had at the airport. And I remember driving in the highway and I was actually trying to crash my car and I had to stop and I just sobbed and I was crying so much. I had so much pain coming out of me that day. And I remember even going into work, and surprisingly that day it was like no customers. So I had enough time to like sit there and like think about what just happened. And you know what I did? I called the guy up. Yes, I called the guy up. And all he did was tried to manipulate me into thinking that it was my fault that he forced himself on me and that he hit me. Like, he really tried to convince me that that was my fault. And here I am begging him, like trying to talk sense to him, like he's gonna listen to me. Like, I obviously didn't love myself at that point. When you're depressed, you don't love yourself, you know? And I was in that darkness for a while. And then I remember after that relationship ended, because he broke up with me, I eventually started dating another guy again that I met. And I remember feeling like, okay, I have hope of something different, a new relationship. But it ended the same. 6 months later, guy was like talking to different girls, you know, and I'm sitting here begging him to stay with me. It was sad and it was pathetic because my self-worth was surrounded, or I guess my self-worth was based on what this guy was doing for me and because he was helping me out at the time. And it was sad that it was just self-degradation at its finest. Like, I was just beating myself up or whatever. So what ended up happening after that relationship ended, I went into a homeless shelter for months. And I remember while I was at the homeless shelter, none of my friends visited. None of my family members ever even tried to check on me or anything like that. And it hurt so bad. It hurt so bad because that was during that time. That was when I realized like how lonely my life really was and how dependent I was on other people. So during that time, I did a lot of soul searching, a lot. I'm there with, like, you know, women that are like mentally not all the way there. I'm there with women that just got off drugs and they're addicts. I'm there with like violent women, like, and I'm in this atmosphere, but here I am trying to read my Bible so just so I can stay sane. And I felt like a prison. The only way I left out of there was because, you know, I had a job. I still had a car, but, you know, I had a job, and I stayed at the shelter because I didn't want to keep sleeping in my car. But it ended up to where I ended up sleeping in the car. Eventually, at some point, I had to leave out of the program from the shelter. And I ended up sleeping in my car on and off, living at friend's house on and off. And I was homeless from the time of 2013 all the way up until 2018, just on and off homeless. I would stay with different people, or I would have a place to stay. Like, I actually had my own place at one point in time, and like things didn't work out. And it was just a crazy world, because here I am, I'm a young adult, and I'm struggling to live in a very high cost area, like in Miami. And I have just an okay paying job. It wasn't like a high paying job for that least bit. Sometimes I would even sleep at work, or I would sleep at a park. I would, you know, like it was just getting out of control. Even if I did make a little bit of money, I had to use it for gas, insurance for my car. I had to like find a way to, it's because I didn't have a home consistently, I had to find a way to keep buying food all the time. Like, it was annoying. You know, living on the streets of Miami, it was not okay. And I struggled like that for a very long time, until when I finally did find another place for me to stay. I moved in with like a childhood friend of mine, and that ended up to be a farce, because it got to the point where he was stealing money from me and he wasn't paying the rent. And like, it ended up being a really bad, another bad situation. So here I am, 2016, I'm trying to start a business, and I meet another older gentleman. I don't know what was up with me and older guys, but that was just my thing. And I remember talking to this guy, and he made me feel secure. He made me feel things that no other man has ever made me feel. He made me feel great about myself. And I remember being so much more happier. But this is, again, the problem. This is the same cycle that I was in. And I saw the cycle. Some people don't see the cycle that they're in, but I literally saw the cycle. And I'm sitting here just fighting and fighting and fighting with myself, because a part of me was like, this relationship is not okay, because this guy was divorced and still living with his ex-wife. And yet here I was still trying to make that relationship become something. Dude friend-zoned me for 2 years. And I still was giving him the benefits as if he's like my boyfriend. I was treating him like I was his girlfriend, while he still wanted to maintain a friendship, but still reaping the benefits of having me as a girlfriend. It was a crazy situation. Again, because I got into this relationship thinking one thing, it ended up being completely, totally different than what I expected. And it ended up being where I had to learn the hard way, because it got to the point where a year or a year and a half later, he's manipulating me. He's trying to get me to do things for him and be a certain way and, you know, live a certain kind of, you know. And it was like I was being molded mentally, and it had to come to a stop at some point. So I decided, I ain't doing this no more. I can't. I have to find some sort of way to learn to love myself, because I can't keep doing this to myself. There was one point in my life earlier, you know, for like a year or so, I was single. And during that time, I did find happiness, but at the same time, I was still trying to like think about all of the different, you know, I was just trying to think about like all of the different relationships I had in the past, and I was just trying to make something into it. Like I was like, oh man, I wish I had a warm body next to me now. You know, like I'm sitting here obsessed with the idea of like, oh, you know, I want to have this relationship. I want to be in a relationship. And that's exactly what I was thinking for a long time. To a point where I decided that I didn't want to do this anymore. I was done. I was finished. And I had to learn that in order for me to love myself, I had to first come to a place of acceptance. I had to accept the things that has happened. I can't hold grudges against a dead person in reference to my mother. I had to come to accept that what she did, she was hurting. She was hurt. It wasn't God's fault. It wasn't the devil's fault. No, she was hurt. And she was projecting that hurt onto me. Maybe it's because she saw herself in me. Who knows? I don't know the reason why. But starting all the way back from her, I had to come to a place of accepting that she did what she did. It was not okay what she did, but I had to learn to just say, you know what? Let it go. She is dead. She died 20 years ago. I need to let that go. And then going from her, from the different family members that abused me or have sexually assaulted me, the friends that we had, like, you know, like different things like that. I had to come and I had to accept that these were the things that I needed to let go. We can't go about life holding on to the hurt and the pain that someone else has inflicted on us. We just can't do that. So now I'm at a place where I found that peace. Whoa. How did you find that peace, Christine? Let a sister know. Okay, well, for one, I had to really ask myself, why did I do the things that I do? Like, why? What made me feel like I needed a man in my life? Like, what made me feel like I needed that? And I found out by asking myself those questions that there was like a deeper emptiness that I was trying to feel. What was that emptiness all about? Like, and I realized that even early on as a teenager, when I was trying to find those questions to be answered, like from God, I did find it. And it had to take a lot of prayer and a lot of like asking these questions. And I did get my questions answered by God. God made me realize that I went through these things, and a lot of the things that I went through, one, I had to accept that it was for my own decision. He didn't make me, you know, date all these different crazy dudes. He didn't make me, you know, make certain decisions that I made, financial decisions that I made, you know, and getting into debt for stupid stuff for some dude, you know, like he didn't make me do those things. However, he brought me to a place where he can say, I'm here for you, and you're my daughter, and I'm here. But I had to learn a lot of hard lessons along the way, and I didn't really have to. Now, for the things that did happen to me that I couldn't control, like other people molesting me or abusing me or whatever the case is, for those situations, people are hurt. And it's hard for us to look outside of ourselves because, you know, it's easier to say, well, this person did this or did that to me. But when you start to look outside of yourself and the situation that occurred, you can't blame yourself for being in that situation, especially if it had, you know, it was out of your control. If someone chose to attack you or take advantage of you or hurt you in some kind of way, that was their decision. There would never be any kind of justification for anything wrong that someone does to you. But at the end of the day, we have to come and we have to accept that all of these different things make up who we are. And I can honestly say this from an honest place from my heart. I wouldn't have become the woman that I am today if it wasn't for a lot of the things that happened. And I feel like I've gotten to a place where I've learned that my self-worth shouldn't be wrapped around a guy and what he thinks about me. My self-worth shouldn't be wrapped around what other people have said and did to me. If someone has hurt me in the past by their words or their actions towards me, that doesn't define who I am. And it should never define how I think about other people. Because not everyone is the same. Not everyone that I come across is going to do me the same way. You know, and that's something that I had to learn and accept. And I also had to learn that all this pain, it has to be channeled somewhere. It has to go somewhere. And that was the reason that I decided that I had enough. And I started honing in on a lot of the skills that I already had. You know, so I just started to build my own business. I just started to work from home and, you know, do my own thing. I didn't want to work for somebody else anymore. You know, that's a completely different topic. But if you stay tuned, we gonna learn about how to build some money, okay? Anyways, I'm digressing. But all in all, at the end of the day, I had to learn that for myself, no one is going to take care of me the way that I'm gonna take care of myself. You can't expect for God to come in and do all this work and you yourself, you're just not doing anything. You have to do something for yourself. And that first step is accepting that this was not my fault. This was not my fault. And you should hold yourself responsible for the decisions that you did make that weren't all that great. You know? However, I'm going to say this, and I've learned so many times that the reason why a lot of people repeat those same bad decisions and continue to do the same hurt, continue to go through the same hurt and deal with the same kind of people is because they haven't dealt with those questions, those deep-rooted, underlying, what's going on questions. Like, you really have to sit down and ask yourself, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I with this dude? Why am I dealing with this situation? Why am I working this job? Why am I not going anywhere in life? Like, you have to ask yourself these questions. And I'm going to dare you to ask God these questions too. I'm going to dare you. Look into that book called the Bible and ask God those questions too. Trust me, he'll answer, because he answered it for me. I had to learn the hard way, and I really didn't have to in a lot of cases. But at the end of the day, this was something that I needed to do for myself. I had to come to accept, hey, this was not my fault. These are the things that happened. And you know what? It is what it is. So I'm grateful now that, you know, I'm given a platform at this point to, you know, share my story. And with that being said, thank you so much for listening up until this point, listening to my story. I hope you might have gotten something out of it, and I hope that it might have inspired you to continue listening to this podcast. Our next episode, we're going to start talking about how to survive some of the emotional traumas and how to deal with a lot of like the hurt and the pains that we don't necessarily talk about on a daily basis. As women, I feel like we carry around a burden when we don't even realize that we have such a strong power within us, that God created us to be strong individuals, and we don't see that strength in ourselves. So here I am, I'm going to point it out to you, because you have to see that you're a supergirl. You are a supergirl. And that's something that was very hard for me to see. But
now I see it. I look in the mirror and I see a smart, funny, silly, but cool individual. And at some point, we all have to look in the mirror and see ourselves for the way that God created us to be. And that is the purpose of this podcast, is to motivate you and to encourage you to see those things about yourself. Because we have to accept that we are royalty. And royalty does not accept trash. Royalty has a standard. And that standard shouldn't be, you know, it shouldn't be what you see on social media when you see people paying all this money to get a bigger butt or bigger chest, you know what I'm saying, or to do something to their face. Like, your beauty is a standard that no one else could meet, you know, and that's something that you have to tell yourself. Like, I am beautiful. I don't care what anyone says. You are, because you were fearfully and wonderfully made and created by God himself. Like, that's amazing to me. At the end of the day, we all have a purpose. We all have a reason to live. We all have, you know, something. And we have to find that within ourselves. So I'm so grateful to share this podcast. I'm super excited for the things that are going to come. You have to stay tuned, sis. So go ahead and subscribe. Go ahead and keep watching, listening. I'm going to try my best to make this a weekly thing. That's the goal. So that's what I'm going to be working on. Until next time, America and the rest of the world, you are a supergirl. And remember that, okay? Peace.